Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God who shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bears gifts of mercy for all. Amen. Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor, we confess. God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy poured out on us richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God, give you faith to trust Jesus, who is love born for you, now and always. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a world that is not fair, in a world where we wonder why bad things happen to good people, if you're living in dire or oppressed circumstances, then Luke's gospel offers for you a particular hope. And today we have Luke's blessings and woes in contrast to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, in which the latter, I feel, is more popular in our context. Probably with Matthew's Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, we can simply spiritualize them. We can make them me and Jesus statements, and then be on our way. But with Luke's blessings and woes, we get a glimpse of God's justice. And it's very earthy. It's dealing with injustice right here and right now. And if we find ourselves on the wrong side of it, well then woe to you, woe to me. And who among us wants to think about that? Who among us wants to be on the woe side of things? It might be why Luke's blessings and woes aren't as popular in our context. Yet I believe there's something about these blessings and woes that don't just level out the world in terms of equity, equality, and justice. And I think that's another reason why it's not as popular in our context, because it is about Jesus is making a statement about equity, equality, and justice. But it also offers a word that liberates each and every one of us, regardless of which side we find ourselves on, because it gives us a hope for the future, for God's future. Did you ever see the movie Mr. Holland's Opus? The movie starts in the fall of 1964. 30-year-old Glenn Holland is a musician and a composer from Portland, Oregon. He takes a position as a music teacher at John F. Kennedy High School so he can spend more time with his wife and work on his symphony. The movie follows Mr. Holland throughout his 30 years in American society, throughout it. Now, at what point in the film, there's a student, Lewis Russ. This student has a great work ethic. He doesn't have the gifts to be a great student. Coach Meister, who's Lou's football and wrestling coach, reaches out to Mr. Holland, see if he can help him get his grades up by getting like a music credit. Coach Meister knew that Lewis struggled academically, but was not dumb. And as Mr. Holland works with Lewis, he's not sure if he can help very much. But Coach Meister insists. He insists that Lewis is not abandoned, that they don't give up on him. And what transpires is that Mr. Holland and Lewis bond over drum lessons, and Lewis then realizes that if he can do this with drums, he can do anything in life. So in someone's poverty, there were others that noticed it, and they ministered to that poverty and brought them up on a level playing field. Later in the movie, Mr. Holland has a student, Stadler, who contrasts with Lewis Russ. He's brilliant, but he's lazy. He's obnoxious. Mr. Holland, getting angry at him after one class, says, "This class is called music appreciation. As far as I can tell, you don't appreciate anything." And so Mr. Holland's giving him, disciplining him and giving him an extra assignment and says, "It's not extra credit. If you don't do it, you fail." And as he's giving him this assignment, he gets a note from a student. And then he tells Mr. Stadler, "Meet me here Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And Stadler says, "For what?" He says, "For research." Stadler finds himself that Saturday morning at a gravesite service and asks Mr. Holland, "Who is it that died?" To which Mr. Holland says, "Some kid I taught to bang a drum." What we realize now is that Lewis died in the Vietnam War. And he tells Stadler, his name was Lewis Russ. He made the state wrestling finals 3 years running. He was never as smart as you, Stadler. He had to work real hard even to graduate, stating that maybe that's why graduating meant so much to him. And then following that graveside service with military honors, Mr. Holland tells Stadler, "You can go home now." He says to Stadler, "Woe to you," and brings him who thinks he's high on the mountain, and levels him down, brings him down into a place where he needs to be. We even see in that moment the Russ family weeping and experiencing consolation that's happening in their midst. And the Lewis Russ story arc in the movie, I believe, offers that blessed are you who are poor as an example. They get the resources, he gets the resources that he needs to be pulled up. Because Lewis not only is seen, but he excels. Even though his life is cut tragically short, he was able to be seen fully for who he is and was, for the gifts and blessing that he embodied, those God-given gifts that he had. Stadler receives the woe to you lesson from Mr. Holland. So, Jesus saying woe to you is not meant to be a buzzkill. It's to give us perspective of what the kingdom of God is about. When we go back to Mary's Magnificat, we have a vision in Luke's gospel of that leveling out in the world. The hungry will be fed with good things. The rich will be sent away empty. At the beginning of our gospel lesson, Luke lays it out in this narrative. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. That's intentional imagery there. That Jesus comes to stand in solidarity with a broken humanity. And as the body of Christ, we need to hear, "Woe to you," from Jesus. And we need to take those "woe to you" statements seriously, because it's so easy to pay lip service to those who are powerless in our world. Sometimes our ministry can be superficial. The poor can be kept at a distance. We might take care of chronic needs, but our investment in them will keep them as an abstract person or an abstract family. We can even name them by their need. The person that needs this, the family that needs that. Not knowing their names, not knowing their gifts, not investing in them, like Mr. Holland and Coach Meister, that pulls up the Lewises in the world. The charities we support can also pay lip service, keeping people at a distance. And that need to keep people at a distance rather than reflecting our need to give. So some of these words of woe convict us in our direct and indirect involvement in trying to prevent the leveling out of this world for God's kingdom to be brought forth. President Eisenhower said, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every missile fired represents a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, from those who are naked and are not clothed." The perspective that the woes should offer us is that we can't escape it in our broken world. And when we think we are full and rich and have all that power and all that we need, we must be humbled in knowing that that power is limited. And it's not really the power we think we have. Because in our gospel lesson, we hear where the power comes from. The power came out of Jesus. The power came out of Jesus, which is why we should take those woe statements seriously. We may be high on the mountain in life right now, but nothing lasts forever if you're on that. How many of us have been knocked off our high horse from time to time? I have been humbled many times in my life. Woe to you, Adam, over and over and over again. And when we fall short, where injustice exists in the world, that's when we find hope in the cross. Because the cross redeems us and the entire world. The leveling out is the reality that the cross, that through the cross we receive reconciliation with the living God. This doesn't lift us up, but keeps us on level with our God. Think about when we gather for worship. Are we not humbled when we confess our sins and how we've fallen short time and time again? And what happens when we confess our sin? We hear that word of forgiveness. We are low, and God lifts us up and brings us on level with Him. And when we receive the true body and blood of Christ, we're reminded how Christ humbled Himself and came down to us, and in this meal comes down to us and says, "This is for you." God coming down, heaven on earth, being on our level. And perhaps in the Lutheran sinner and saint paradigm, we might be able to see that there's a Lewis and a Stadler in each and every one of us. And as God desires for the leveling of this world, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven, that we would pray that in our poverty that we experience, that God would send people to serve as instruments of His grace to pull us up, and that we would receive that blessing. And when we believe that we have our fill and neglect the needs of others in this world, that the Stadler in us would be woken up and humbled with the word of woe and be brought back down to earth, so to speak, on the level with others. Because as the body of Christ, if we are Christ in the world, we're called to descend, to meet people where they're at, on their level, to minister to their needs and to lift them up. The blessings and woes give us a perspective that in meeting people where they're at, that we can see that God has blessed them, created them in their image and likeness. And that reconciled to the cross of Christ, that when we engage the world through God's eye for justice, we know that good news also, that each and every one of us are blessed to be a blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Blessed are those whose trust is in you. Strengthen the faith of those who profess your name and bring reassurance to those who doubt or fear. Through your church, speak continued blessing into the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Those who trust in you are like trees planted by streams of water. Bless fruit trees with an abundant harvest. Protect rainforests from destruction. Restore land that is eroded after deforestation. Resurrect woodlands after forest fires. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Search the hearts of those who govern, that they lead with humility. Inspire leaders to collaborate on policies that protect people and the planet. Sustain truth tellers and social movements that challenge society to become more honest and just. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Send your blessings of mercy upon those who long for consolation. Tend to those struggling with poverty, unemployment, or uncertainty. Provide for all who are hungry. Console those who face persecution. Grant peace to all who suffer or are ill, especially the Beal family, Matt, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Perry and Barb, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, are homebound and for those of COVID-19. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Renew this congregation in our shared mission. As we plan and dream for the future you are preparing, inspire us by the examples of Martin Luther and all the reformers. Bless new projects and new ministry partnerships. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and our chaplains. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Christ is raised from the dead, and so we cling to the hope of the resurrection. We praise you for the lives of the saints who lived and died in the hope of eternal life with you. God of grace,
since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We continue with an offering. You may be seated. Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him, your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, author of time, one among us, breath of our bodies, you are as close to us as skin and infinite as stars. You came to us as Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter and rabbi, who on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Whenever we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's blessing, present in our time, just as in ages past, building the communion of saints even from our own bodies. Bless us with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let your Holy Spirit infuse our hearts and minds with joy so that we may live to praise you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. You may be seated. This time, I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for wine, and if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups to release you forward. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Announcements for the good of the community. Linda?
First of all, I would like to thank the Thrive-In for giving us the opportunity to have another one of their special events. Rays of Sunshine is posted in the narthex. The intent was that in these winter days, we like Rays of Sunshine in our mailbox. There are thinking of you cards out there. There are birthday cards out there. They all have stamped envelopes with them. So all that is required is that you put the address on it and possibly a little note. Look around. Who's not here today? How about a ray of sunshine in their mailbox? The outreach is not meant just for our people, but also for your friends. We have a number of people who are on our sick list. And I'm sure that they would appreciate your thoughts. So the cards are out there. We got 17 boxes of them, so there are plenty of cards. Even if you want to address one while you're here, there is a container that says we will even mail it for you. So please remember somebody with a ray of sunshine during this time of the year. I would also like to invite those people to note that we have a Bible study tomorrow by way of Zoom. That is open to anybody who would like to join us, and you will be hearing some of the same things tomorrow that we had in the sermon today as far as some of our reading of our scripture. We're talking about the kingdom of God. That Zoom link will be put on later today. Third little thing, the Happy Wanderer schedule is posted on the bulletin board by the fellowship hall. Open for anybody to take a copy of it that would like to have a copy. You are all welcome. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in today and forevermore.
Christ into a weary world, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.